From the studios of Boise State Public Radio News, I'm Gemma Gaudette. This is Idaho Matters. It's no secret that climate change is impacting our landscapes, but did you know it's also affecting our health? As extreme weather events become more common, so do threats to our air and our water, even our food quality, all of which creates a domino effect. So understanding the consequences of these stressors is really important, which is why St. Luke's Director of Sustainability, Dr. Ethan Sims, will be hosting a lecture on the topic next week at the Osher Lifelong Learning Institute, and he's joining us now for a preview. Dr. Sims, it's really nice to have you back on the program.
Thanks so much, Gemma. I appreciate the opportunity.
So can you start out kind of by setting the scene for us? Can you talk about some of the extreme weather events that we've been seeing more of in recent years?
Yeah, I don't think you have to think too far back
to
understand what I'm going to be talking about, because this summer really was an awesome display of how our environment and climate have changed in a way that is really negatively impacting our health. I think everyone can recall the incredible heat we dealt with sort of late June, July, and into August, where we had record-breaking numbers of 100-degree days, just day after day, where it was hotter in the peak times of day, but also not really cooling off as much as it used to. So instead of those big 20 to 25-degree drops you'd see overnight, we weren't quite seeing that same degree of cooling off. So it made it really hard for people to get a break from the heat. And then that led right into one of the worst smoke seasons we've had in a long time, where, you know, the whole Sun Valley, Garden Valley areas were just devastated all summer long with really terrible air quality. And I can say from, you know, working in the emergency department, we were seeing lots of people come in from a small community like Garden Valley with respiratory conditions, but not just the typical respiratory things you think of. We were also seeing people come in just flu-like symptoms, weak, fatigued, itchy eyes, just didn't feel well and couldn't put a finger on what it was, thought they had COVID test negative. And I think that's a lot of what we're seeing with smoke-related illness.
Mm-hmm. So with that said, I'm curious also about, you know, not just the physical health, as you said, all of these symptoms that are presenting at ERs, but how about mental health? How is that impacted? Because I have to tell you, I remember towards the end of the summer, I was cranky and being like, it might as well be winter. Like, you can't even be outside. You can't enjoy summertime. So if we're going to be stuck inside, it might as well be cold. So what about our mental health and how that is impacted?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's multiple ways. I think there are direct mental health impacts of especially wildfire smoke and heat to a lesser degree that affect your ability to concentrate, affect your mood because of the physiologic changes to your body during the times of extreme heat. And also some long-term effects like increased risk of dementia and cognitive decline with repeated exposure to wildfire smoke. But I think the thing you're thinking of is that what we call solastalgia, the sort of loss of your normal environment while you're still living in it, the depression of not being able to do the things you want to be able to do. And I think, you know, most Idahoans have some connection to the outdoors, whether it's because they hunt and fish, because they mountain bike like I do, because they UTV, but all those things become less and less feasible when the heat is really high or the smoke is making it so the air quality is so bad you can't go out and do anything because you just can't breathe. And so instead of doing the things you love, you're sitting indoors. And we know that when human beings go from a state where they're out engaging in something they enjoy with other people to withdrawing indoors, often by themselves and turning instead of to a friend, but to a screen, that is really harmful to your mental health and, you know, really harmful to societal health. I think that's, you know, where a lot of the broader societal divisions we're seeing come from, where we're withdrawing from each other and just focusing on screens and indoor time. And I think the environmental changes we've seen recently have really driven a lot of that.
Are there people who are at greatest risk to these climate-related hazards or illnesses?
Yeah, we certainly think of the most vulnerable, and we think of this as a health equity issue. And I think when people hear equity, they think of lower socioeconomic status patients, which is certainly true. People that live closer to an event, closer to a highway, are more likely to experience poor air quality. People that can't afford good indoor air filtration systems are more likely to have toxic air in the houses that they're living in. But I think the population that we often overlook is older patients and mm-hmm. the seniors in our community. So, our parents and grandparents, especially those who are in communal living situations like an assisted living facility, oftentimes don't have great indoor air quality, and they don't have access to the outdoors to get out of that bad air quality. So there were some studies done by a professor at Boise State named Luke Montrose, who's since moved on to Colorado State, looking at air quality in senior living facilities during the time of COVID across the state, and really found that there were really poor indoor air quality levels at most of these places. And again, these are populations that don't have a lot of control over their ability to get outside or get away from that exposure. So that's a very specific example, but I think generally mm-hmm. speaking, it's the very young, the very old, and those who don't have access to resources.
So are there also kind of like less obvious effects of these climate issues that we're seeing? I'm thinking like the spread of insects, because you have warmer weather, right? Which could then lead to some long-term illnesses. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, absolutely. We host a lecture series at St. Luke's on climate and health that's partnered with an organization called the Idaho Clinicians for Climate and Health. And Idaho Matters has been gracious enough to host a number of our speakers in the past. But we had a lecture from Dr. Chris Hahn and Dr. Sky Blue, two infectious disease physicians in the state of Idaho. And they talked about what we're seeing locally and globally on this issue. As the climate changes, the vectors, the insects that carry these diseases and can transmit them, spread further and further into areas they've never been before, with these vulnerable populations that have never had exposure to these diseases. Things I think of in our region are things like Rocky Mountain spotted fever, which is becoming a more frequent occurrence in Idaho, has been here for quite some time, but it's getting more common. Lyme disease, which has not reached Idaho yet, but has migrated from its traditional home in New England all the way as far west as Minnesota. Mm-hmm. I moved here from New Mexico in 2017, and New Mexico had several cases of dengue fever in the past couple of years, which I would certainly typically have associated with tropical environments. And I definitely don't think of Albuquerque as a tropical destination. And then last year, we had several cases of malaria with native transmission. So people that had not traveled outside of the state coming down with malaria in Florida, Maryland, and as far north as Massachusetts. So these are diseases that we're not used to seeing, and physicians in these locations are not used to identifying, which makes it really hard for us in the healthcare community to know what we're up against sometimes when, I think if you're in New England and you see a rash that's typical of Lyme disease, you know exactly what you're dealing with. If you live in Idaho and you haven't seen Lyme disease since you looked at it in a textbook at medical school, it's going to be a lot harder to make that diagnosis.
Mm. Many of us, I think, are aware of some of the big drivers behind our warming planet, but are there contributors that we may not think about as much that maybe we should be thinking about?
I think, everyone, probably the first thing people say when I talk to them about sustainability is that we need to be recycling more. And, I think the most critical phrase in sustainability and climate change and this kind of environmental work is yes, and yes, you need to be recycling, and you need to be thinking about energy efficiency improvements in your home, which is really not that exciting to talk about, but is probably more impactful than anything else you're going to do in your own individual life. Making sure your windows are sealed, that you've got a good insulation in your home. Think about putting an energy efficient heating and cooling system, like a heat pump, in your house, as opposed to a natural gas furnace or traditional air conditioner, which are really inefficient sources of heating and cooling. I think the next thing people think of is like, I need to get an electric car. And that's the way I'm going to, you know, really drive things in terms of my carbon emissions. But I think if you think about alternative modes of transportation, instead of just changing your car, drive less, bike more, walk more, take public transportation, and support public transit, because I think we'd all love to see a public transit system in the Valley that was actually practical and, you know, helped us get from A to B without too much delay. So, you know, maybe you don't need to spend all that money on an EV, and maybe you don't need to worry so much about recycling. They'll keep doing it because it is beneficial. But, you know, spend some time looking at your home, get an attic fan and improve your insulation, spend that money getting new windows instead of getting an EV. And I think those are probably ways that you don't typically think about how you can improve the climate.
Mm-hmm. Before I let you go, I think it's fair to say that climate change, the issue of climate change, has become so politically charged in, you know, in our country, right? And because of that, there is such a back and forth around the politics of it. Why, in your opinion, is it important that we actually need to talk about this issue and be aware of this issue and do something about climate change and, frankly, take politics out of it? I mean, climate change is real. We need to figure this out.
Yeah, I mean, I think the clearest example that climate change is not a political issue, but a healthcare issue came in 2021 in the peak of the COVID pandemic. More than 200 healthcare journals across the country and across the planet co-published an editorial saying that climate change was the greatest threat to human health while COVID was, you know, just running rampant in our hospital systems. So places like the New England Journal of Medicine, The Lancet, British Medical Journal, JAMA, all these major educational institutions for healthcare came out and said, climate change is a bigger problem for our health. So if we can think of this as a public health issue, which when you go outside and you can't breathe because there's so much smoke in the air, you realize that, hey, maybe this is a public health issue. When, you know, you want to go hunting in October and there are no animals left in the hills that you normally hunt because they've all moved further north because the climate has changed so much, you can maybe think of your pastimes as not a a political issue, but a reality that, you know, we need to do something to change. And so I think everybody's got a reason to care about climate change. But it has become so toxic and so divided that I think we just need to start thinking of it in different terms. And so when I talk about all these innovations that I'm trying to support, like clean renewable energy, I'm talking about it as a health benefit to our community, not as you know, a liberal idea that we need wind farms or something. But you know, this is something that's going to improve our community health if we get rid of coal-fired power plants that are polluting the air and replace them with clean renewable solar energy. And you know, a lot of times it's hard to talk about it if you say climate and change in the same sentence, but the reality of most of these innovations is that they're cost saving. And I think if you can focus on the financial aspects of it too, as well as the health impacts of it, you can really find these multiple layers of benefits to environmental initiatives. You know, if we invest in clean, renewable energy, it is way cheaper than investing in natural gas, investing in coal. And it also comes with the added bonus that it has significantly fewer greenhouse gas emissions. So it's going to provide cheaper, cleaner energy that's going to improve our community health. And it just has benefit after benefit that you can really speak to your leadership about.
Well, I want to, as always, thank you so much for taking time to talk with us. We've been speaking with Dr. Ethan Sims, an emergency medicine physician and St. Luke's Medical Director for Sustainability, about the impact of climate change on our health. He will be speaking more about this topic on November 4th, beginning at 10 a.m. with the Osher Lifelong Learning Institute. Thanks so much for listening to Idaho Matters. Boise State Public Radio and Idaho Matters are members of the NPR Network. It's an independent coalition of public media podcasters. You can find more shows in the network wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Gemma Gaudette. We'll see you tomorrow.
The candidates for November are set.
I know Donald Trump's tight.
Between now and Election Day.
We are not going back.
A campaign season unfolding faster.
Kamala Harris is not getting a promotion.
Than any in recent history.
Make America great again.
Follow it all with new episodes every weekday on the NPR Politics Podcast.